Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Marks and Reese, we're back. We're Radio Row for Army-Navy. Game is tomorrow, Lincoln Financial Field. We're with Hugh right now. Here's the rest of the show. Eagle in an Envelope, which is coming up at 5:25. Your last chance to qualify, and we do it. We selected an Eagle. We put him in an envelope. It is somebody that has played in the 2010s for the Eagles. So yesterday was 2000s, we did the 90s, and then we did the 80s before that. So somebody that played this decade for the Eagles. You'll call in, you'll ask a yes or no question, and then you'll get a guess at who it is. If you get the correct player, you will qualify for a prize that's amazing, and a prize that you can't get. You're an honorary captain along with Marks and Reese down on the field at the Eagles and Cowboys game. You get two pre-game sideline passes. You get two tickets to the game. You also get a jersey of your choice, courtesy of the pro shop down at Lincoln Financial Field. So that's 5:25. End of the show, we will then pick from the four winners, daily winners, and they will win the grand prize. So you're qualifying today, and then we'll put you in the hat with the other ones to see who actually wins. That's at 5:25. Then we have Mike Florio right after that Pro Football Talk, and we'll get into all that. Jack, what's the what was the Flyers news that you had mentioned before?
Yeah, so one of their young new forwards that just came up, you know, last year, was playing well this year, was diagnosed with cancer, Oscar Lindblom. So he has Ewing sarcoma.
And that's bone cancer.
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
That is terrible.
Terrible for a young, you know, especially a young person, but anybody. Well, you know, obviously we will think about him, and he'll be in our prayers as we learn more about it and that's going forward. All right, so let's play. So Joel Embiid last night, Ike, we spent the last 2 days rightfully criticizing Joel Embiid.
Give him a little tough love.
Right, and, you know, it's good because I got a lot of people on social media to where I don't look at a lot of my social media, but my DMs are open. I got a ton of people flooding my DMs being like, yeah, stay off the Sixers bandwagon. You know, Sixers fans that were listening the last couple days, and we're happy that Joe responded. Listen, I'm happy Joel responded. Mm-hmm. A hell of a game last night. It's the dominating game. And you know what? That's the way he needs to play.
Yes.
Did he almost validate what we were saying the last 2 days and what Charles said and what Shaq said?
I think he did. And, I mean, hell, not only that, he basically went on and basically thanked them for pointing it out. Because sometimes, now, and here's the thing. I'll take back what I said. Was it yesterday I said it or was it Wednesday? Whichever, I think it may have been yesterday, that I didn't know if he believed everything he was saying, right? Like, he may be just saying it because it's the easier thing to do, and you just move on. But the fact that he wanted to go back on that show afterwards, talk to those guys, after talking to Shaq during the day, he said he called Shaq.
Yeah, they had a conversation
on
the phone.
Yeah, they had a conversation. So it obviously hit home with him to some degree. And, you know, maybe coming from a guy like Shaq and Charles Barkley, that does resonate with you. So maybe we saw a turning point with Joel. Listen, I hope it is. I hope it isn't just a knee-jerk reaction, meaning last night they were on TNT. That motivated him to play well also. It's a nationally televised game. If he doesn't play well, Charles and Shaq are going to kill you even more tonight.
Right.
That could have motivated him. But I'm going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I hope this is something he can carry forward. Right? You know, I just hope it's something he can carry forward, that mentality. He has that, and he had fun last night.
He had plenty of fun.
He was having fun last night. He was talk your trash, talk your stuff, do your shimmy. It's the other stuff that's unnecessary that causes you to get kicked out of a game or get suspended. Or you make the organization look bad by going on vulgar, profanity-laced rants on Instagram at other players in the league.
Right.
Like, that's not what the face of the league does.
Well, I mean, if we're being totally
honest.
You're
not some just random player. You're one of the faces of the league.
If we're being totally honest, after with Embiid's behavior after the after Shaq and Barkley kind of tore him a new one on TV, handled it very well.
Yeah.
He didn't go back at him. He said maybe they're right. He spoke to Shaq via the phone. So you have the audio of Chuck. So this is TNT last night. Listen.
Listen, we don't expect you to get 38 points every night, but we need you to be aggressive because when you're a great player, and you are a great player, you have to set the tone for your team every single night. And we're not going to let Ben off the hook either. Ben's got to be more aggressive, especially when you go out the game. But I pick you guys to get to the finals, and I just need you to lead this team every single night. And I'm going to stay on you. I know you get mad at me sometimes, but I'm going to stay on you because you got a chance of being the best player in the world. We don't say that about a couple of players. And you were terrific tonight. And just, hey, keep it going, man. Keep it going.
I appreciate you. I really listened to what you said and Shaq, and, you know, I'm gonna keep walking, and, you know, I'm definitely going to use that and try to get better every single night and bring it every single night. Thank you.
There you go.
Man, that's all we want right there. That's all we care about. That's all we care about, JoJo, right there.
Honestly,
I loved hearing that.
It couldn't have worked out, ended up working out better after it initially happened, right? They beat the Celtics. He had a great game.
Yeah.
He didn't freak out at him or get in an argument with him or anything, mm-hmm. and it ended like that.
Mm-hmm. See, what people don't realize is, right, of course, there are going to be those of us that love Joel Embiid no matter what he does, right? We can also become enablers, right? Have we not learned that through AI's situation? As great as AI was, have we, as a fan base, held him more accountable instead of making excuses for him all the time? And in basketball, it's different, man. It's different in basketball because the singular player can have an impact on both ends of the court. A single player can take over the game,
yep,
and dominate. And so I don't need anybody telling me, well, you know, Carson, because it's not the same. It's only partially the same. Embiid can affect both ends of the court by dominating, right? And so we say this because we don't want Joel to waste his best years of his career with things that aren't related to basketball. Can we get our star to be singularly focused on winning a championship? That's what we want you to do, man. Not the other stuff. The other stuff is a luxury. It's your leisure time. Like, these fans are only going to care about what you do out there on that court. And so, Joel, that's all we care about, big fella. You'll turn this fan base on you quicker than anything if you start throwing a pity party.
Yep.
Like,
there was some turning going on.
Oh, yeah,
this
no
year.
Doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. And that's why you got to switch that.
Yep.
Like, the Sixers don't want that.
No.
Face of their franchise. You're the reason why we all come down there. Like, the last thing they want is for you to be the guy no one in this city likes.
Right. Yep. No, you're right.
They don't want that.
All right, let's get into it. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. You want to play Shaq, too? Jack? So here was Shaq after.
What the hell did Shaq say?
Yeah.
Joel, this is me, Shaq. Forget being a basketball player that's played, whatever. As a fan, that was fun to watch. As a big man fan, that's fun to watch. You dominated the game. You shot high percentages. You played well. You had fun. You played hard. Your teammates followed you. And this is how you're supposed to play every night. I know Charles just said he doesn't expect you to get 38 every night. I do. I've seen it before.
I got you.
You can do it. You have it in you. And, you know, you have to get to the point in your career where you look at people and be like, oh, tomorrow we play Minnesota, I'm getting 40. And challenge yourself to that. You could do this, what you did tonight. Do it every night. I'm proud of you. And I thank you for listening. A lot of people call their mamas trying to get people fired, do all that stuff. But you listen. We appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, everything you said. Thank you.
Yep.
Shaq giving you behind-the-scenes stuff. Players is calling TNT.
Yep. 888-7.
Trying to get Shaq fired for Shaq and the Fool. It's just JaVale McGee's mom.
Yeah, oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
888-729-9494. Yeah, all right. That makes sense. All right, let's take some phone calls. Jack, do you think we overreacted to the Embiid thing, or were we right? Because I got a lot of people, like, I'm being told you're not allowed back on the Sixers bandwagon and all this other stuff. And I'm just like
I don't think we overreacted.
Yeah, like, I don't. Like, whatever. You can say I'm on the Sixers bandwagon, and I'm not. And I admit, I'm a little bit negative with the Sixers with the personalities on this team. But, hey, listen, he had a hell of a job, had a hell of a game last night. And here's the other thing. He handled it very well. He couldn't have handled it better.
Yeah,
I mean,
more than the way he played last night. You're right. The way he responded to that, I think, was certainly showed a sign of maturity. And that lets you know that maturity is in him. It's in there. You just got to tap into it. What you can't do is surround him with guys like a Jimmy Butler, where they get up there and make fart noises and silly stuff like that. Like, I don't need to see that stuff.
No.
Like, you wish, like you hope Al Horford is here long enough to rub off on him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he would be
like,
the,
that's
he
what
would,
you want.
He would be the guy. He would be the veteran leader.
Yeah,
that you
want Al Horford to rub off on him.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
that's what you want.
Part of the reason why he's here. 888-729-9494. And then, of course, the Eagles and the Redskins, where the Eagles may lose the game on Sunday, Ike.
No.
Jack picked them to lose.
Yep.
I picked them to lose. Mo Westchester. Mo, what do you think? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
What up, Mo?
Listen, real quick, shout out to JoJo last night for answering the call. Got to give that man a shout out. I haven't heard any love yet. But I have a real quick question for you guys. I want to get your opinion on this. Due to how this team is constructed right now and who we have available for the Eagles, is this not a successful season if we just get to see Wentz in the playoffs?
Yes. For me, it is. Yes.
I don't think a Super Bowl runs in the picture just because we're too young. Right now, we have all the our vets are out. It seems like they really don't even want to play right now. I feel like some dudes are giving up on the team. Mm-hmm. But I think if we see Wentz in the playoffs, that's a successful season to me as a fan.
How's he doing in the playoffs?
Care how he does in the playoffs. They can lose the first game.
Yeah, but I want to hear what Mo says.
Oh.
What about a loss in the playoffs? Successful still?
A loss in the – I mean, if he goes up against the Niners, that team – I mean, that D-line, they got some killers on that D-line.
Yeah, they're going to be the worst. They're going to be the worst. If they get in the playoffs, Mo, they'll be the worst team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Personnel-wise,
yeah.
Yes,
yep.
Personnel-wise.
But if we're going, what, Niners-Seahawks, I like to see them against the Seahawks. I think we can maybe get a
so still,
out
still
of that.
A, still a success, though, regardless, just making the playoffs still a success. I mean, yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there that believe that. I think there's a lot of people out there that think that. I don't know. It's tough for me to agree that it would be, even with reset expectations and everything that went on, it's still – it'd be tough for me to say, yes, I'm deeming this season a success because everything that happened. And Carson Wentz making the playoffs and winning games to get to the playoffs would be huge. It would definitely be huge. But, you know, doesn't a successful season more or less mean that you're validating the people that put the team together or that coached the team or that played on the team, right? Like, back into the playoffs because the Cowboys are worse than you are.
You're not backing into the playoffs.
Well, I mean,
you got to win four straight games. How's that backing in? You win your division. Backing in is getting in because somebody else lost like they backed in last year.
Yeah, but you had to win those games too.
Well, if that's not backing in, how could this be backing in?
Well, because the division's so bad. You have 2-6-7 teams right now. All I'm saying is that it's hard for me to.
Well, they went 9-7 last year. The Cowboys went 10-6.
They did. They also, but they also last year they had the backup quarterback that was playing again, and he was able to manage to get it going. So that kind of made people feel.
Yeah, the backup quarterback came in and played three games. The point is that it's not that like they were playing in a division where it was a 12 or 13 win team last year. The division is what it is. It was a 10 win team last year that won the division, and it's probably going to be a 9 win team that wins this this year.
Jack Fritz, successful season, just making the playoffs at this point. I mean, Ike's right. They would need to win. They would need to win out.
I mean, for this point, it's good making the playoffs, but I mean, it's not a successful season.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure it is.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Limping into the playoffs because both teams are bad means that it's a successful season.
So what would be a successful season?
It's already not a successful season.
Oh, so if they win the Super Bowl, it's not a successful season?
Sure. If they win the Super Bowl, it's a successful season, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
I'm asked that. Listen, we don't even know if they're getting the playoffs. I'm asking you, what would be a successful season?
Like they if
you can't define what a successful season is, don't tell somebody else what a successful season is.
If they get in and win a game, it's a successful season.
Okay, that's all I'm asking is tell me what's a successful season for you. I just say if they win a game in the playoffs, it's a successful season. Okay, I got it.
I think winning a 9-7 division that's bad is a successful season, you know?
Yeah, that's because you're too focused on what the record is. Do you realize once you get in the postseason, it doesn't matter? Everybody is 0-0. It does not matter. How many? It's not college football. You're not going to the Pinstripe Bowl to play Wake Forest like my school is. Like we're all
where they play that game?
Yeah,
by
yeah,
way.
Up in New York. Yeah, in the Pinstripe Bowl. Yeah,
you
Yankee
can't
Stadium.
Even get to a you can't. Oh yeah, you Yankee can't even Stadium. Get to a good like a tropical location or warm. Or
they should have been playing in Detroit somewhere.
Motor City Bowl.
Yeah, something stupid like that. Yeah, don't even deserve to be in the Pinstripe Bowl. But you see what I'm saying, Jack? Like the Giants. Don't think any less of the two titles they recently won, even though their teams finished 9-7 in the regular season.
Right. Well, see, here's how I answer the question, right? And I think this is fair. Because you're right. Like, 9-7, at the end of last year when they won a game, then they lost like they did to the Saints. While
I deemed that a successful season.
Right. Like it burned that they lost the way they did because you saw the opportunity to go to Los Angeles and win. But
who dropped that ball?
Alshon. I don't think a lot of people were super angry, irate at the team after they got over the initial loss.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was like, hey, all else being equal, that was a pretty good run that they just went on, right?
Yeah.
This year, just making the playoffs alone, like,
they won't even have a squad that went into the playoffs last year.
But this may infuriate the LTBB. This is more individually about Carson and his play than it is about the team at this point. Because the team is what it is, right?
But like, he needs them to get in the playoffs.
No, I agree. But if Carson, example, if they just make the playoffs, that's one thing. If they make the playoffs because Carson put him on his back, and like he did against the Giants, right?
That's for haters. That's for guys like yourself that want to.
Not for haters.
Yeah, sure it is, because now he has to carry them in.
No, I'm saying
it doesn't matter that the team gets in the playoffs. But, he has to be the reason
to
go.
No, but him playing well down the stretch in the Eagles getting to the playoffs means more than the Eagles just kind of winning and making the playoffs because the Cowboys can't get out of their own way. I mean, that
would mean more to you.
Yeah, it would.
In the summer. Yeah, I know, because that's to me, that's silly, though. But I can't enjoy my football that way. So if this team is in the playoffs and he's the quarterback, it's a successful season. I don't need him to throw for 300 yards the next 3 weeks. I don't need him to win by double digits every week to get in. If he gets this team in the playoffs where you had players drop in and out of the lineup all week, you got questioning whether or not guys are giving full effort on the offensive side of the football, and now he's playing with strictly practice squad players and Miles Sanders at the skill positions besides his tight ends. You mean to tell me he has to be impressive with this group in order to be validated? Come on, man. He has to be how the hell can he be impressive with these guys?
He was last week, right?
He went for a quarter and a half.
Okay.
Well, the game is four quarters.
Right, I know, but the point is that he has been able to be with lesser talent and backups at times this year. He has been impressive. He's put up numbers. He's won games.
Don't think so. No, he hasn't. What game has he put up numbers with without talent?
I mean, the Green Bay game, he had good numbers.
They ran the ball.
Dolphins game?
He had did he not have talent? Was Alshon not in that game? Did Alshon catch 9 balls for 130-something yards?
Even when the starters were in, and we're going to get to the phones, even when the starters were in, they still were dropping the ball. You know what I mean? All year, the narrative was these guys suck, and Carson Wentz has nobody to rely on. Right, so it's not like just because they have practice squad guys in, at least these guys are catching the ball at this point.
Well, okay. So what happens if they don't catch it Sunday? Well, and then they don't catch it next
Sunday. Then they're probably going to lose.
Right.
Right, and then it wouldn't be Carson Wentz's fault if they're losing games where guys aren't catching balls.
Yeah, I guess it's just me is that I'm not – I don't think these young guys have all of a sudden turned into the greatest show on turf. I know we feel good after the Giants game, but I'm not automatically assuming that they're going to walk out here for the next 3 weeks and every time they step on the field, they're going to make you forget Alshon and Nelson and Jordan Howard. I'm not convinced of that. Now, I can be convinced of it, but right now – I'm looking for a defensive touchdown Sunday.
Let's go to Dominic Cherry Hill. Dominic and your Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from our Tasty Cake studios. We're live at Radio Row for Army and Navy. Dominic and Cherry Hill. Dominic, you there? Jack, you may need to punch him up because my screener's down. Dominic and Cherry Hill, you still there?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Dominic?
I'm good. I'm a little worried, though, and I want to bring this up, but the Redskins' running defense is something that is just awful. And I just feel like I'm worried that Doug is going to get pass happy again, which he always does. It puts Carson in a tough situation. This defense is 10th in the league against the pass, which not many people know. And I watched the Green Bay game, and what they did to Rodgers, it's a little worrisome for me about this game this weekend. And I don't see us winning a tough game that people think we're going to just kind of coast by them. What do you guys think?
No, I'm with you. I expect this thing to be a tooth and nail type of game. Just because I agree with you. I think the Redskins passing defense. You got Landon Collins back there at one of the safeties. Monte Nicholson at another one of the safeties. They have decent players over there. And because the Eagles' offensive players aren't explosive, you're going to make that defense look even better. Like, you don't have anybody, at least as I'm looking at it right now. We'll see what happens Sunday to really put a scare into that Redskins defense. They don't have to – they're going to double Zach Ertz. So where are we going after they try to take Zach Ertz away from you? Like, where are we going with the ball now? Mm. And that's what Carson's going to have to figure out. Like, who can he trust? You're going to be able to trust Greg Ward out of the slot. Greg Ward's not running by anybody. He's more of a crafty, get open type of a guy. All right, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, watching him last week. Did he not play damn near every snap?
Yeah, he would have to, right?
He caught how many balls?
Two, I think.
Yeah.
And one was late.
Yeah, we know the over-the-shoulder catch.
Right.
But before then, it was a slant that he caught earlier in the game. So that lets you know he's not getting a ton of separation and getting open. He didn't get a ton of targets in that game. And then what's the new kid, Robert Davis? I don't know what he looks like.
I don't either.
Yeah, so.
And I don't even know his
number. The Redskins know what he looks like, though. They know what he looks like. I think he's, what, 14, I think.
Is that what he – oh, he's one of the one of the single number guys.
I think he's 14.
Jack, who do we got next, man? I don't have a screener, so you have to – Nick in Collegeville. Oh, Nicky, what's up, brother?
Oh, Mike. Oh, Johnny, what's up, buddy?
Oh. What's up?
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Nicky?
So, at, 2 o'clock the show started, and Johnny went on. They got to win. They just got to win. No excuses. I don't care. I don't care if Manny Moe and Jack are in the backfield. I don't care if Manny Moe and Jack are, offensive line. Okay. I'm on board with that. Now, what time is it? 5:11 or 5:09, whatever it is. Now it's they have to win, and like Clemson, they have to win impressively.
Nope, like, didn't say that.
You're
making stuff up. No, so listen, listen closer. I'll say
ago,
it.
Well,
hold on.
Okay,
hold on. So listen closer. We're talking about the playoffs, and would it be a success to just make the playoffs at this point? And for me, making the playoffs at this point, I've seen the Eagles make the playoffs. Right? It's great that Carson Wentz could get or will have some playoff experience. That doesn't necessarily make it a success. Now, if Carson played great down the stretch, yeah, then I would say, like, you know what, all else being equal, this was a successful season because Carson really had a lot of things working against him, and he ended the year playing very well. So that's why it would be successful to me, right? I'm not talking about this game. I'm talking about season.
You're right. You know what, I went from my car to home, so I didn't miss about 45 seconds, 1.5 minutes. Okay, so I misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but still, look, at the end of the day, And we said this all year. You said this in the beginning of the season. You wanted to see Carson get to the playoffs and make some kind of run and get some kind of experience. At the end of the day, any extra gain that Carson can have is a positive. And with the
Definitely.
New talent that we now have, that, you know, because the old folks, we don't want to see them anymore. Nelly and Jeffrey. I'm tired of these guys. Hungry dogs run faster. Is that what we were told 2 years ago?
That's what we were told.
These kids stepped in, Ike, in the second half, and what they do? They ran faster.
They dove for balls
because they were holding helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were holding helmets and giving out water bottles for the last 14 weeks. And now they had a chance, and they said, guess what? I'm not going to let this slip away.
Yeah.
And so that's my flip side to you, Ike, to get on what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I understand that this is the first time he has these guys down in a starting game, but he's been throwing these guys all year because these other wide receivers have been hurt and these other running backs have been hurt. So he's been handing the ball off to them and passing the ball to them during practice sessions. And this is he gets a full week with them this week. And I do want to see more of what happened in the second half last week. I expect that, actually. I do.
Yeah.
Now we have an offensive line. It's a little kind of beat up. I get that. So that might be an issue. If he doesn't get the time and he looks bad, I'm not making an excuse right now, Johnny, but if the offensive line plays bad and doesn't have the time and Carson looks bad, I give him a pass. But if he has a little bit of time and he looks like the sluggish, you know, Bronco from several weeks ago, then I'm coming back at you, like, on Monday.
I'm with that, Nick, and I'll have to accept that. I'll have to accept that. My only thing is I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe, and they won Monday night with backup players that haven't been scouted just yet. I know what that's like to have that sort of adrenaline rush in that moment for that game. Well, they got to do it again. And I'm not saying they can't do it again. I've said they're going to win Sunday. You guys are saying they're going to lose Sunday.
Yes.
The difference with me than you guys is that I've already set my mind to lower expectations. Doesn't mean I don't expect them to win. I just don't expect it to be pretty.
Sure.
That's my only thing. I don't care who they're playing. They just showed me 2 weeks in a row that it ain't going to be pretty.
Nope.
So they showed me that 2 weeks in a row.
Well, some people think that they can still – there's still a certain – I don't know, percentage of fans out there that still think, like, nah, they can still get it going. Nah, they can still score 35, 40
yeah,
points.
Yeah, listen,
I'm with you.
I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade. As a fan, listen, they had to endure this thing for 3 weeks where they were losing and looking bad in the moments. So they finally get a win, and they still remain in the hunt. I'm not going to poo-poo on everybody's parade. I'm just telling you.
I hope they score 35.
I'm just telling you where I'm at.
Right.
So I'm more or less going to be surprised because they will have exceeded my expectations as opposed to not meet my expectations. You know, but the Bronco is there. I don't worry about him.
He's there.
He's fine.
Well taken care of.
He's fine. He's going to overthrow guys. He's going to miss some passes.
And he is.
Twitter will go crazy. Joe DeCamera will be talking about benching at halftime. Like,
so how long of a
like
leash,
that stuff goes.
How long of a leash, Jack, does Joe give Carson Wentz this week before he benches him on
before
Twitter?
Before he benches him.
Does he leave him in the whole game? Or?
Yeah, so that stuff happens. That's why I said, being a part of the – which Joe is not – being a part of the LTBB community isn't for the faint of heart. There are times you're going to have to, you grit your teeth because you're like, oh, dude, that he was wide open. We could have hit him right there. Like, that's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen four times throughout the course of a game, at least four times.
Yeah.
It just does.
Take advantage of Gotta during Windows' big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call Gotta 877-GO-GOTTA or visit goguida.com. Jake in Wilmington, Delaware. Jake,
from State Farm.
Jake.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Jake?
What's up, Jake?
Ike, how do you do it, brother?
Loving life.
You know, listen, if they win, it's not a success unless he throws for 350 and, I don't know, catches them too. But, Johnny, I got a soft spot in my heart because you married an Egyptian girl, and I'm an Egyptian who married an American girl.
No way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we're pretty
much
like cousins.
But I'm going to come out as LTBB tonight.
Yeah.
I'm coming out. And I got a slogan for the community, Ike, if you want to hear it.
I do. Go ahead.
I've been saying it ever since I came out, and LTBB, we're here. We're sincere. Get used to us. LTBB. How you like that? You like that, Johnny? Does that work?
I mean, that's not for me.
We're sincere. What's the last
get
part?
Get used to us.
Get used to us. Okay, I'm going to try to work that in this weekend, Jay. I appreciate that. We're here. We're sincere. Get used to us. LTBB community slogan.
You like it?
It's not like.
It doesn't really roll off.
Have
here.
It your way.
Like Burger King?
Yeah, like Burger King. It's not like that.
It's interesting. That's the first thing that came to mind was.
That's the first slogan that came to my
yeah?
mind. Yeah, I couldn't think of another one.
Yo, man, this ain't Burger King. You ain't having it your way.
That's the first one to play.
No, listen, it's a great slogan. It is.
Is it? We're here. Get used to us.
No, it's not the slogan. If you already forgot it, Jack. If they already forgot it, it can't be the slogan, right? We're here. We're sincere. Get used to us.
Oh, it's the we are sincere.
That rhymes.
Okay. Yeah. I got it. I'll practice that on the way home today.
All right. Yeah, sincere is one word for you guys. I got a number of other words. See what you want to talk to Inge. See what he's doing this afternoon.
Oh, we haven't talked to Inge in a while.
Inge, what are you doing, brother?
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, Ike?
What's up, Inge?
I'm surprised you're cautious when you have John Elway back there. I don't understand,
yeah,
man.
His numbers are better than John Elway's.
Look, I'm surprised that you didn't call that fourth quarter comeback the drive and replace John Elway.
If he does it in the playoffs, I will.
Look, the only way this season is successful is if they get back into the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. So you got to look at it backwards and see if they get to the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. That's the only way this season is successful.
How does one season have anything to do with the other season?
No, I think if it gives Carson anything, and I agree with you. I think the off season's critical to get back to that elite level. But let me talk about the Sixers game.
Okay.
Look, this is my two takeaways from that game. Number one, I'm going to rest Embiid every three or four games. I don't care if he only plays 55, 60 games because home court means nothing in the NBA. I don't care if the Sixers are the second seed or the sixth seed. As long as Embiid is healthy, 100% ready to go in the playoffs, I'm happy. And this is my second point. I think this is more important. I'm looking at that game with Embiid's dominance and Tobias playing really well. They still barely beat the Celtics. So this is my concern. Embiid and Horford, Embiid and Simmons, those three don't mix. If I'm Elton Brand and you want this year to be a championship year, you have to trade Simmons and Horford. Let me give you a trade proposal. And I don't know if Indiana will do this. I'll trade Simmons straight up for Malcolm Brogdon. I don't know if Indiana will do that. And second,
I guarantee you Indiana would do that.
Okay, then let's do it. But then I'm going to send Horford over to the Clippers, and I'm going to get two of their players, Patrick Beverley and their power forward. What do you think about that? I think that will create the perfect team. It'll create a team. And this is one of the problems with Brett Brown when he talked about star hunting. Mm. It's not about star hunting. It's about building the most cohesive team with the most talent. This talent doesn't mix. That's the biggest problem with this
team.
Well,
listen, Inge, outside of your trade proposals, what you're saying isn't necessarily wrong, that I think there's a lot of people that wonder if Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid together, if they will both see it through to where, listen, if you don't win and you can't get over the top, something's got to change. You add to the team. Sometimes you need to subtract and add in other spots. But, I mean, I love Horford. I don't know if Horford, they would have been better served using that money on somebody else or a shooter. I mean, they're so damn big.
Yeah.
That's a good thing sometimes.
No, listen, I hear you. You certainly want that size if you got to go up against the Lakers in the finals because they have 3 7-footers.
Yeah, the Celtics don't match up well against the Sixers.
Well, Dwight Howard isn't 7 feet, but you get the point.
I get the point.
With Howard, JaVale McGee,
and they're big team.
Anthony Davis, and LeBron is 6'9" himself. So,
but Milwaukee, you probably don't.
No, they. Well, I mean, they got Brook Lopez and the Greek Freak. That's about it.
All right, here's what we're gonna do. We are gonna clear the line.
What the hell did Ben do last night? 7, 6, and 5.
Yeah, I was watching the game, thinking if they lose this game, we're gonna tear in the Ben tomorrow. Oh. We're gonna forget about Joel and go right after Ben, because that was the Ben game.
Yep.
Because when Joe needs that attention, Ben just kind of he goes and hides and he's not aggressive. Why can't they both be aggressive?
Is he still pouting at Brett Brown?
He might be.
Over the shooting the free throws and the three-pointer thing.
I think last night was just stop. Now let Joe do everything. I'll just play defense and assist and everything else.
Okay.
Clear the lines.
We're
going to play Eagle in an Envelope for the last qualifier for the great contest. 888-729-9494. Get in. You ask a yes or no question. We have an Eagle in the Envelope. He played in the 2010s for the Eagles. If you get it correct, you qualify to be a honorary captain at the Eagles and Cowboys game. That's coming up in less than 2 weeks. 888-729-9494. That's how you get to play it. Mike Florio joins us after that as well. So we'll be right back to play Eagle in the Envelope live from Radio Row for Army-Navy. Back right after this. But, hey, listen, let's talk about Get a Car for a second. That's right. Go out and get a car. This holidays, right? Buy get yourself a good gift, right? Get a car. Getacar.com. GETTACAR. Get it with two T's. It's a great thing. Everything's online. So you go with your phone right now. They have the largest selection at the largest prices. So their inventory is amazing. Their prices are amazing. You choose the car you want, and Get a Car delivers your car to your door. Test drive it in your own neighborhood. If you don't like it, return it within 7 days for a full refund. If you don't like it at all, say goodbye, bring me another car. That's what Get a Car does. Get it with two T's, GETTACAR.com. Buy a car from Get a Car and get free gas for a month. Just enter promo code WIP. Go to the website right now. I mean, is there anything worse than the process of going to a dealership on a Saturday afternoon and you get the stale popcorn and the bad coffee and you're waiting around forever? Don't do that here. Get a Car brings it to you. Get a Car will leave and you keep your car. Get a Car, GETTACAR.com. Get a Car.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.